To call it, I hear the train a-coming. So would you stand, please? Let's give reverence to God's word. I want to look at Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 to begin the message today. It says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show to his servants things which must soon take place. He sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bears record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near." And may the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. You may be seated. What does the book of Revelation have to do with trains anyway? Well, I believe that Revelation is the terminal toward which the train of history is heading. And we are traveling, we are all aboard this train for the ride. The events described in the book of Revelation are forthcoming. That's what I believe anyway. I believe the events are largely future, something that we have to look forward to. But I love to study the book of Revelation, as you probably know, because it builds assurance and anticipation, and also I receive a call to action. It enables us to stand and stand up for Christ in our particular generation. I'm deeply troubled when I hear that 80, perhaps 90% of Christians, and this is the view by those who go around and teach and talk about prophecy, the people in our churches today say, we can't understand the book of Revelation. It's too complicated. And I do understand that because of the symbolism that is there. But you know what? That isn't a suitable condition for any growing Christian. Because I think as never before, we need God's answers for the future. And knowing the future prepares us for the present. And you know, the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, you would think that some people call it the book of obscurity or the book of puzzlement or the book of ambiguity because they can't understand Revelation. And I'm here to tell you today that God wants us to understand the Revelation. That's the name of the book, Revelation. The unveiling, the uncovering. And God wants to reveal his future to his children. I always love that where God says about Abraham, he said, "Should I withhold from my friend that which I am purposed to do?" You know, God calls us friends. And he said, "I don't want to withhold from you what purposes I have for the future." And so I believe that Revelation is the grand central station of the Bible because it's the place where all the trains of doctrine and thought come into play. It serves as a culmination of various themes and prophecies. It brings them all together into one unified vision. It kind of ties up the loose ends. It's a place where all the trains of thought from earlier biblical texts converge, offering resolution and a glimpse into the ultimate fulfillment of God's plan. And here's the thing that amazes me. There are at least 500 references to the Old Testament in the 404 verses of Revelation. You tell me the Old Testament is not important. It is. And you don't understand the fulfillment of what is being talked about in the Old Testament until you get to the end of the story, until you get to the book of Revelation. Now, I probably told you this story before. I know I have. You probably maybe remember me telling it. It's one of my favorite stories. I love it. It's a story about Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson. They went out camping. They went on a camping trip. They had a good meal, and they laid down for the night and went to sleep. And some hours later, Sherlock Holmes woke up and he nudged Watson, his faithful friend, and he said, "Watson, look up at the sky and tell me what you see." And Watson replied, "I see millions and millions of stars." Sherlock Holmes said, "Well, what does that tell you?" He pondered that for a moment, and then he said, "Well, astronomically, it tells me there are millions of galaxies and potentially billions of planets. Astrologically, I observe that Saturn is in Leo. Chronologically, I deduce the time is 3:15. Theologically, I can see that God is all-powerful and we are small and significant. Meteorologically, I suspect that we will have a beautiful day tomorrow." And then Watson looked at Sherlock Holmes and said, "What does it tell you, Holmes?" Holmes was silent for a moment, and then he said, "Watson, you idiot, it tells me somebody stole our tent." And I like that story because sometimes we can get so caught up in all the details of life that we miss the main point. We miss the things that are really important. We don't see the big picture. It's easy to do that in the book of Revelation. You can get so caught up in some of the symbolism and some of the details, and we take our eye off the ball, so to speak. We miss the main thread of the book of Revelation. And that is, we can lose track then of where it's all headed. The Lord doesn't want us to lose sight of the big picture. Because the book of Revelation is all about the advanced history of how Jesus Christ becomes king by means of judgment. It tells us where history is all headed. Everything is ultimately headed to the feet of Jesus Christ. It answers the question, what is this world coming to? And the answer is, the world is coming to Jesus Christ. By the way, the name of the book is not the book of Revelations. It is the book of Revelation. It is singular. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. We lose track of that. We think there are just many different revelations and visions, and there are, but everything is pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, our conception of Jesus is incomplete if we don't get to know him, if we don't understand him in the book of Revelation. In fact, Revelation chapter 19 and verse 10 says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. What does that mean? That means that we cannot understand Jesus without understanding prophecy. Now, let me give you the code to unlocking these prophecies. It's really the key to understanding the book of Revelation. There's an alternating pattern from passage to passage throughout the book of Revelation. For example, you have what's going on in heaven, and then what follows that is what's happening on earth. And as you read the book of Revelation, you will see that what is happening on earth is being dictated by what is happening in heaven. And that is then a spotlight, that, so to speak, that comes on and it shines on heaven. It gives us the view of heaven and what is taking place there. And then as a result of that, it spotlights the things that are happening down on the earth. And learning to appreciate this pattern, we learn to interpret events, not just future events, but also the circumstances in the lives that we live right at this time, right at this moment. For example, just at the beginning of the book of Revelation, you got the scene on earth where John is on the Isle of Patmos. But then what follows that in verse 11 is the scene shifts to heaven and you see the glorified Christ. And as you go through the book of Revelation, in fact, here's what I want to do. Would you like to have a blessing this month? I would encourage you to read the book of Revelation in one setting. You think, wow, that's a lot. There are 404 verses. That's not a lot. It won't take you as long as you think it will to read it. To pick a time. I know I'll sit down with a book in my hand, and if I don't fall asleep, I'll read more than 404 equivalent verses of the book of Revelation in one sitting. And I would encourage you to do it. Why? Because there's a blessing that comes. It's the only book of the Bible where there is a blessing that's promised to those who read it. I think God knew that someday people would say, I can't understand the book of Revelation. I'm just going to stay away from that. I think he understood that perhaps that time would come when some churches would never preach out of the book of Revelation. And so he puts this ad of incentive in there, and he says, if you read it, I will bless you. In fact, as you go through it, I would encourage you to look for six other blessings that are given to you in the book of Revelation. See, we think that the book of Revelation is all about the scary end time stuff. No, I want you to know the book of Revelation is about Jesus, and it's the future that we have to look forward to. I was talking to a couple of you a couple of weeks ago, and maybe we should stop calling it end times and begin to look at the new beginning. Because in the book of Revelation, there's a new heaven and a new earth. There's glorious things that await the Christian, glorious things that await the church of Jesus Christ. Someday we will be ruling and reigning with him. And so as you go through the book of Revelation, as you read it, find those six other blessings. And I'm here to tell you today that the book of Revelation is a blessing book. It is. To me, it is strength for today, and it's bright hope for tomorrow. So I would just throw that challenge out there to you today. Now, I it's so encouraging because, to me, when we see the darkest days on earth, we can look up and we can see the brightest days in heaven. Everything begins to change as we view the events here below with the perspective from heaven, with the perspective of God. And when we view things, you know, horizontally, when we just begin to look at our lives and the circumstances that surround our life, some of the things that happen to us, we say, why does that happen? Why is that happening to me? And the events don't seem to make sense. But if you begin to look at things heavenward, and you get heaven's perspective, and you see things horizontally, or vertically, we begin to see that life makes sense, including the direction of history. And we see how all of history begins to tie itself together. So what I want to do is just go through a couple of things here that are in the book of Revelation and show you how the different trains of prophecy are coming into this station, this grand central station that we call the book of Revelation. First of all, we know that there is a coming Antichrist. And I could spend days, or probably at least a day, on any of these subjects, but we're just going to go through these real briefly. John in his epistle tells us that there is a coming person, and he named him Antichrist. And then in the book of Revelation, he begins to fill in the details. And in chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, he says, I saw when the Lamb, that's Jesus, the Lamb opened one of the seals, then I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a loud thunder, come and see. And I looked, and behold, there before me was a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went forth conquering that he might overcome. Now, that rider there on that horse, the rider in the white horse, many people think that is Jesus. I do not believe that it is. This is the same person that we will meet, that you meet in Revelation chapter 13. He is the beast. He is the Antichrist. And one important clue is that the rider in Revelation 6 has a bow, but if you notice, he has no arrows. Although some people say, well, then the arrows are just, they're implied. I don't agree with that for the simple reason that if you read the Greek translation of the Old Testament, it's what we call the Septuagint. You heard of that? The Septuagint is important to read because we understand then how these Greek words are tied together with the Old Testament and the New Testament. But he has a bow, he has no arrows, he has a crown, and he went forth conquering that he might overcome. So this idea here of the bow that you find in Revelation 6, interestingly enough, in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 13, that same word is translated rainbow. And the Lord there uses the rainbow as in the clouds, in the sky, as a symbol of what? What is the rainbow there for? It's a sign of God's covenant, right? that he would not destroy the world with a flood anymore. And so the Old Testament gives us precedence for a bowl being symbolic of a covenant. And then we know from Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27 that the beast, this Antichrist, will make a seven-year covenant with Israel, and he will break that covenant, this peace treaty, in the middle of the tribulation period of 7 years, so about 3.5 years in. So this means that the covenant, the opening event of the tribulation, is a signing of some sort of covenant. And Revelation 6 describes the beginning of that seven-year period. Now, what's interesting is the United Nations recently held a meeting on peace and security. They are declaring the year 2025 to be the year of peace. And the UN has an entire section, the UN News has an entire section devoted to peace and security. What does Paul tell us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 3? He says, while they are saying peace and safety or peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, suddenly like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. Now this is, I find this is fascinating because the U.S. Special Envoy to the Middle East, Steve Witkoff, reiterated just Wednesday his belief that additional countries will join in the Abraham Accords, which normalized its ties between Israel and these and several Muslim nations. Witkoff also said he hopes that there will be a comprehensive peace agreement with Iran in the wake of the 12-day war with Israel. And that ended on Tuesday with the U.S. brokered ceasefire that the envoy played a key part in achieving. So here's what I want you to understand. The book of the chapter 6 of Revelation is what's sometimes called the mini apocalypse, because what it does, it expounds on what Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 24. So what Jesus taught in Matthew 24 is coming home, that train is coming home in the book of Revelation. And furthermore, we see that a crown was given to this rider on the white horse, and the verb there was given is that same verb is used repeatedly in the book of Revelation, where divine permission was given to evil forces to carry out their wicked plans. One of the things that I love, again, about the book of Revelation is that when we see evil happening, it says it was granted to them. God was allowing them to do it for some particular time, for some particular reason. So that tells me that God is still on the throne through it all. He's got his hand on everything that's happening. And we're not going to have time to go into detail today about why God allows that to happen, but I just want to mention that to you today. But this crown, it's a victor's crown. He has a bow. Now, if you don't think that's the covenant, you want to consider it the bow and arrow type, well, then it's interesting that he has no arrows. This symbolism seems to indicate that he will win. He will win a bloodless victory. He'll win a victory through peace. And that will be the beginning, that will be the start of his career. And we know that it ushers in a time of worldwide peace because the rider on the next horse, in chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, he's the red horse. It says that he comes and he takes peace from the earth. So if you're going to take peace from the earth, there has to be peace to begin with. There has to be peace before that. Now let me say this right away. I do not believe for one second that Donald Trump is the Antichrist. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that all of these peace treaties and this talk of peace is exactly what the Bible says is going to happen before the tribulation period starts. Again, there has to be peace in order for the peace to be taken away and the Antichrist come in and make peace again. It's interesting that in Daniel, when it talks about this covenant, how it this prince, this Antichrist, makes this covenant strong, the indication is that it could be that it could take a covenant that has already been made and make it stronger and enforce it. Are the Abraham Accords today the beginning of the peace treaty that perhaps the Antichrist will take and build on? That's, I think it's a very strong possibility. But do me a favor. Start when you listen to the news. Look how many times, and I could give you a list of things here today. I could give you a list of times they talk about those two words, peace and security. Peace and security. And you begin to listen to them because they are declaring 2025 to be the year of peace and security. We'll just do a couple of other ones here real quick. We got the rise of anti-Semitism, and I'll skip here to my chart. This is actually 4 years old, so I couldn't come up with the latest statistics, but you will see how anti-Semitism is on the rise here in the good old USA of America. We got biometrics and the beast in Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 and 17. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, both free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, so that no one may buy or sell except he who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So we are seeing all of these things begin to happen in our lifetime, how they are taking shape right before our very eyes. And then there's also, I could mention here real briefly, the second coming of Babylon. Babylon is not only history, but the Bible describes a Babylonian system, at least a system, in the last days. And one of the things about Babylon and is, you know what God did? Two things when he came down and he saw what they were doing at the tower, building this Tower of Babel. He did two things. First of all, he confounded their languages, because he makes this statement that, you know, what they have imagined they are going to be able to do, whatever all that is. So God confounded their languages. And then the second thing he did was scatter them into nation states. And what is happening today is the reverse of that. Our language barrier is being broken down big time. On your phones, you can have what somebody speaks in a different language, you can have it translated into your language. They are right now working on some kind of ear device that you can talk with somebody who has a completely different language than you, and you can talk to them and they will understand you in their language, and when they talk back to you, you will understand them in English. Some incredible things are happening to break down the language barrier. And don't get me started, I guess, on the digital aspect of it, because everybody's speaking the same language when it comes to that. All these computer programmers and things, they are able to communicate immediately. And then the other thing is the Great Reset and the world desire for a one world government is to reverse what God did at the Tower of Babel. He wanted nation states, but the world today wants to be all one. They want, as Pastor Josh said last week, they want uniformity. And so all of these things are coming together. How about the second coming of Jesus? This is probably the greatest event that we have to look forward to. And there were many, many places in the Bible that promised his return. And someday he is coming back in the clouds. I believe the rapture first, but if you disagree with that, that's fine. You can hear the sound of the train coming. You can hear it with these biometrics. You can hear it with anti-Semitism. You can hear it with the push for globalism. You can hear it with all of these different things. And so that tells me that Jesus is coming soon. Because you begin to hear the sound before you see the train, right? We lived in can I get your permission to tell a story? I grew up by railroad tracks. I lived by trains all my life. So honestly, I just got used to them. I don't really even hear them anymore when they go by. We moved to Tomah. Debbie hadn't been around trains. We didn't even realize it, that we moved right near a railroad track crossing. So they would blow the whistle. And I don't know what it is, but it seems like at night when they blow the whistle, they start half a mile away. So we're laying in bed the first night in our place, new place there in Tomah, and the train begins to whistle, and Debbie shoots up out of bed, and she says, "Yes, Lord." I think she thought it was the rapture, the blowing of the trumpet, or something. But someday Jesus is going to come back, and that train that prophesied his second coming is going to take place. And it even says that the nation of Israel will look up on him whom they have pierced, and they will weep and they will wail and recognize that they missed their Messiah, and they will accept him at that time. So let me close here real quickly. Lou Holtz, the old football coach, was at a banquet one time and expressing his excitement over Notre Dame football and their bright future. At one point in the speech, he gave a quote that has been repeated many times. And this is what he said: "You always have to be careful about the light at the end of the tunnel. It could be an oncoming train." Now, for those of us who are Christians, the light at the end of the tunnel is Jesus. But for those who are not Christians, the light at the end of the tunnel is an oncoming train that they do not want to experience, because this train will be a freight train of judgment. The light at the end of the tunnel for you and I is his oncoming kingdom, where we will receive rewards. But the light at the end of the tunnel for those who are not Christians is where they will get their retribution and their judgment. Today, we stand here at Wonder Junction. Wonder Junction is the place where you need to decide which train you're going to be on. Are you going to be on the glory train that takes you to heaven, or are you going to be on the train that takes you to a completely different destination? You wind up, first of all, in heaven, but you wind up there to be judged and be found guilty for your sin. One of the reasons I'm so strong on the pre-trib rapture is because I believe that Jesus died for our wrath. And he took our wrath upon him when he died on the cross. So we don't have to face the wrath and the judgment of God. But if you've not received Jesus as your Savior, if you don't do it at Wonder Junction, if you don't do it in this lifetime, it'll be too late. And so will you today, if you have not, either here today or listening through a video of some sort, will you receive Christ as your Savior? Will you make sure you get on the train that is headed for an eternal home in heaven with Jesus? There's a tunnel. There's an old song, "The Glory Train." Anybody heard that song? Anybody? I'll just read you one verse of that song. It says, "Hear the thunder of engine, get aboard her if you can. For the final destination is that far-off promised land, where the Master will be waiting in his home way up above, just to fill our hearts with gladness in his great eternal love." I don't know why anybody would not want to be on that train. I'll tell you, if you live your life today, you think you're living it for yourself, you're really not. You're really not. You're serving the enemy. You're serving the spirit of Antichrist. When you can have Jesus, who loves you and has an eternal destiny for you that is beyond anything that you could ever imagine. I've been some pretty places in the world. I've taken even a train ride to some pretty places. But there is nothing compared to heaven. Nothing on this earth could ever compare to the glory that awaits us. So yes, can I suffer here, and can I make sense of that suffering? Yeah, I can, in light of the glory that shall follow. The suffering that we have, Paul says, is not even worthy to compare it to the glory that we will someday have. And so could you just bow your heads, close your eyes this morning? Let me just ask, is there anybody here? You're not sure that you are on the right train. You're not sure you're going to wind up on that beautiful shore of heaven. But you want to be sure. You want to make sure you're on the right train, the right track. Your destination to somewhere has already been determined. And Revelation warns us that the Grand Central Station, trains from all areas, all places will come in. And from there we go to an eternal reign with Christ, or we go to a place of separation and eternal damnation. That's choice. Is for you and me to make today. Is there anybody here that say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I want to make sure. I'm not sure, but I want to make sure I'm on the right track. Christian, then here's what you and I have to do. We have to continue to do things like this. We have to continue to invite people to get on the train with us. You know, I have an extra ticket. I have a spare ticket. Let me share that ticket with you, so that you can meet Jesus and have a home in heaven. If you could commit to that today. Father, we thank you for the glories and the riches of your word. I thank you for the book of Revelation and how it is a place where all the thoughts of Scripture, including those prophetic events, come into place. And Lord, as we take this commitment to read the book of Revelation sometime in the month of July, I pray for blessings upon your people. And I ask, Lord, you would open their eyes, they would see you, that you would be unveiled, and they would know more about you than they did before they started. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, Fran has a couple of testimonies that she's going to share with us this morning. And then when she is done, you can be dismissed. So, Fran? He's coming with a mic.
It's on. Okay. So, good morning. I am so thrilled with what God is doing. Praise God. So most of you that know me know that I've had trouble with my hearing.